Reading from Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him, that is in Jesus, will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And Father, we pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning, and that you will stir in our hearts a fresh desire, a fresh thankfulness for the good news that we have in Jesus, and a fresh desire to bring that good news to others, Lord. Let us be good news to people, the people around us, the people in our lives, the people in our neighborhood, the people at our workplace, people in our family. Let us be good news. Let us speak good news to them in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us that when Jesus came, he came preaching good news, the good news of the kingdom. Everywhere he went, he brought good news. He brought good news to the lame and to the blind and to the sick, as with a word or with his touch, he healed them. He brought good news to the demon-possessed as he set them free from their oppression. He brought good news to the dead, and not only the dead, but also to the bereaved of the dead as he raised people from the dead. I love the story where Jesus is walking into a village just as a funeral procession is coming out of the village. And at the front of the procession is a widow, and she is burying her son, her only son. Though this woman has felt the sorrow of burying her husband, and now she's on her way to bury her only son. She is truly left alone in the world. She is truly, truly grieving. And the crush of sadness and being alone and losing the son you love, and all this is crushing her heart as she walks out. And the Bible says that Jesus felt his heart was moved towards her. And he said to her, don't cry. He's about to bring her good news. He turned to this young man who's dead on a pier. And he said to him, young man, get up, rise. And air filled the lungs of this young man, and blood began to move again in his body, and he rose from the dead. Can you imagine the joy of that widow to have her son brought back? Can you imagine how that good news, I mean, that was a day of horrible news turned into wonderfully good news. Jesus came bringing good news. The best news that he brought was the good news of the kingdom, that he came to make a way for sinners to enter the kingdom of God, for us to enter the kingdom of God. He came with the news that the kingdom of God is drawing near. It's not far away. It's drawing near. It's coming near us. And not only that, we can be cleansed of all of our sin. We can be forgiven of all of our guilt. We can be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. We can have eternal life. This is all good news, amen? And that news is just as fresh and just as good for us today as it was 2,000 years ago. This is the good news of the kingdom. As we come to Romans 10, it's all about good news. It's about good news. The bad news we read in earlier verses, where Moses said, if you want to live by the law, the Jews wanted to, many of them still wanted to attain righteousness and make heaven by their own efforts. They wanted to pay their way. And Moses said, the bad news about that is if you're going to live by the law, If you're going to make heaven by the law, you've got to keep the law perfectly. You've got to keep the law inwardly. You've got to keep it outwardly. You've got to keep it 24/7, no slip-ups. And the bad news is that's impossible for us to do. It's absolutely impossible. It's not hard for us to do. It's impossible for us to do. No one gets into heaven by being righteous enough on their own goodness and merit to make God's standard. All have fallen short of the glory of God and have sinned. But Moses and Paul, because they're tracking together now, Moses and Paul says, but there's another way to be righteous enough to get into heaven, and it's not impossible. In fact, it's easy. It's easy. You don't have to travel great distances. You don't have to climb amazing heights. You don't have to sink down to incredible depths to attain the righteousness that will get you into heaven. You don't have to be righteous enough to ascend to heaven and touch the righteousness of God. You don't have to ascend to death and pay the penalty for your sin. That righteousness is near you. It's as close as your mouth and your heart. It's as close as believing in Jesus Christ with your heart and confessing him with your mouth. Because Jesus already did all that was necessary for us to be righteous enough to make it into the presence of Almighty God. Achieving God's righteousness, Paul says, isn't impossible. It's easy. All we need is faith in Christ and faith in all that he did for us. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is the ascended Lord and believe with our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. That is wonderful, wonderful news. Everyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved. Not some, but everyone. Anyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved, because everyone who calls upon the Lord will be saved. Now, here's the thing. It needs to be sincere. That's what it means from the heart. Believes in their heart. And it needs to be open. We can't be kind of like undercover Christians. No one knows it but me. We need to confess him with our mouth. These are one step that has two divisions to it, but it's one thing. We believe what we believe in our heart, we're going to confess with our mouth. So it's just believing in our heart all that God did through Jesus and then sharing that with our mouth. It's just a reality of true faith. But Paul goes on to say, before anyone can believe in Jesus, or before anyone can call on Jesus, they need to believe in him. And the only way they can believe in him is if they hear about him. And the only way they will hear about him is if someone tells them about him. And for that to happen, Paul says, someone needs to be sent. Someone needs to be sent to tell them the good news about Jesus Christ. And that someone is us, church. That's us. God has called us, sent us with good news. Jesus sends out his disciples into all nations with the good news of salvation. We are sent. We don't have to wait for a commission. We are sent with the good news of the gospel. God calls us to proclaim it. God calls us. He calls you. He calls me to have beautiful feet. I love how Paul kind of slips that passage in. It doesn't totally flow, because he's talking about how can you call unless you hear? How can you hear unless you believe? How can you believe unless you... Someone tells you, and then he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Where did feet come in? How did feet enter this conversation? Well, he's actually quoting from both Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, and the prophet Nahum. And both of them have this picture, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim good news. So in Isaiah's day, the Israel, were being oppressed by the Assyrians. They put chains on their necks. They mocked them and they blasphemed God. But God gives Isaiah a glimpse into the future, and he sees beautiful feet coming down the mountain with good news for Israel. God is going to break the yoke of the Assyrians. He's going to break the oppression. He's going to silence the mockery. And he's going to free Israel from their captivity and their oppression. Now, Nahum came along about 40 years later, and he's talking to the same situation. The Assyrians are still mocking, still have their, in fact, it says they're planning vile attacks. They're planning how to destroy Israel. Does that remind us of anything today? And they've got all this evil planned against Israel. And so Nahum, the prophet, cries out against the most famous Assyrian city of all, Nineveh. Now, we all remember Nineveh from Jonah, but now we're about 150 years. So God has been kind to Nineveh. He's given them 150 years before he brought destruction. But the repentance they had was only went so far, and now they're back to their old ways. And Nahum cries out and says, "You will be destroyed. You will be destroyed. God has been patient. God has put up with you, but no more. God is going to destroy you, Nineveh. He's going to break the shackles that you've chained my people with, and you and all your vile acts will go down to the grave." And then Nahum says to the Jews, "Look up to the mountains, the feet of one who brings good news. How beautiful those feet are. Your oppression is almost over. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news." I couldn't help but think, I'll speak for myself, I think I have 10 to forgotten them, but there are still an estimated 100 hostages being held by Hamas right now. And I found a site that listed their names and a few of them, their pictures. Many of them are young people. And it just breaks your heart to read of these people who for over a year now have been held captivity in dark tunnels, if they're even still alive. We cannot even imagine the horrors that they have experienced, the terrors, the fear they have faced for over a year now. And I pray that someone with beautiful feet is going to come to them soon with the news that they've been rescued. They have been set free. Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine how beautiful those feet will be when someone comes and says, "You're free. You're free. Your days of captivity are over"? Can you imagine the joy on the moms and dads when they hear from their son or their daughter who's been in captivity, who's been held hostage for over a year now? Can you imagine the grief or the relief of their grief and the tears of joy? And there will be repercussions and consequences, and there will be continuing pain and trauma, but just the joy and the good news that this is over. We need to pray for that. Amen? My goodness. How beautiful on the mountains or in the tunnels are the feet of the one who brings good news. Even ugly feet are beautiful when they carry good news. It also made me think of an old friend of mine, Phil Cappuccio. And we used to laugh a lot together. Drove his wife crazy. But he was telling me, this is before I was a pastor, but he was a young pastor. He was brand new as an assistant pastor of a church. And he told me about the first wedding he ever performed. It was kind of like an emergency kind of wedding. It was thrown together, just literally thrown together at the last minute in the middle of a weekday. There was, since he was the new assistant pastor of the church, the senior pastor told him, "Phil, you need to officiate this wedding." So Phil's nervous. He's never done a wedding before. He walks into the sanctuary, and there's four people. There's the bride, the groom, and two witnesses, and that's it. That's it. And he said, I mean, this was anything but a formal, fancy wedding. The groom looked like he just got out of the pub doing an all-nighter. I mean, they were just disheveled and just a mess. When it came time to do the vows, Phil decided to improvise a little bit. You know, sometimes when you're, you know, in the moment, you decide to improvise a little bit and go off course. And so he looks to the bride or to the groom and he says, I want you to look into your bride's eyes and I want you to repeat after me. And he begins to speak the vows and she repeats after him. He repeats after him. I'm confused. But then he turns to the bride. Got that, bride? I get confused at weddings. He turns to the bride and he says, for some inexplicable reason, he tells the bride to look into the big, beautiful eyes of the groom. He said, Alan, this guy's eyes, they're all bloodshot, they're bleary, they're swollen, they're red. They're like anything but beautiful. Why did I say that? Why did those words come out of my mouth? If you're going to say the big, beautiful eyes, let it be the bride that has big, beautiful eyes. And if it's going to be the guy, let it not be a guy that looks like he just pulled an all-nighter at O'Malley's Bar and Grill. You know, like, it just came out before he could pull it back. The groom's eyes weren't beautiful. But Phil declared them beautiful. So for that day, they were beautiful. The point I'm trying to make here is I don't care what your feet look like. You might have like the best looking feet in the world. You might have the ugliest feet in the world. You could make Bigfoot, you know, proud of his feet compared to your feet. It doesn't matter. God says if you use your feet to bring good news, if you use your feet to bring Jesus to the world, you have beautiful feet. The feet are beautiful because the news they carry is beautiful. Both Isaiah and Nahum write, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. I think that implies the feet start on the mountains and they come down into the valley where the people who need to hear good news are. They don't stay on the mountain. They come down to the valley. If our feet stay on the mountain, guess the only one who hears the good news are the people that's on the mountain. Jesus came down from the mountain of heaven to bring the good news to people that were in the valley, that were in the trenches, that were living life in the challenges of poverty and sorrow and their own guilt and their own sin and the guilt and the sin of others against them and all the brokenness that's around and sick and infirmity and demon possession and death and all those things. This is the world we live in. This is the world they lived into. And Jesus came and he got his feet dirty. Amen. His beautiful feet got dirty as he walked this land, and he didn't try to keep his feet clean. He got them dirty on purpose so that he could walk where people who also have dirty feet walk. So he could touch the person who was the leper, who was unclean, and no one would touch them, and Jesus touched them and got his feet dirty, got his hands dirty. He came down from the mountain of heaven, and he came down to where people live like you and me so that he might lead us to where he lives, that he might take us into heaven. That's the good news of the kingdom of God drawing near, drawing near. There are people who still live in that valley today. Now listen, there are times when we walk through valleys, amen? There are times when our lives go through valleys. I don't know about you, but I'm not always living on a mountaintop. But when we walk through a valley, we walk with our Savior, with our Shepherd. And he walks every step of that valley with us. And he leads us through the valley, not to live in the valley, but to go through the valley to come out on the other side. Because Jesus has put us on a mountaintop of grace and love and mercy. We live with the grace and love and mercy of God in our lives every day of our lives. We live on that place. And even when we're in the valley, we live on a mountain of grace and mercy. Some of the sweetest mountaintop experiences we'll ever experience are in the valley when we're pressing into God, when we feel our need for God. But there are those who don't know the Lord. They have never heard that good news. They have never received that good news. And so they live in a deeper valley. They live in the valley. Whether they're rich or poor, healthy or sick, smart or uneducated, whatever they are, Republican, Democrat, Independent, name it, from this land or that land, from Iran, from Portugal, from Bolivia, from America, it doesn't matter. They live in the valley without hope and without God in the world. And they need good news, and Jesus sends us to them. Who has God put in your life? Who has God put in your life? Who is in your relational circle right now that seems to be in need of good news? I want to encourage you to think of one, two, three, four, whatever you want, people specifically, and commit to pray for them every day. There are people on my heart and list where I pray for them almost every single day, that they would come to know the Savior. Begin there. Think of people particularly that you want to commit to pray for every day. And then pray that God will give you opportunity to share the good news with them, that they might call on the Lord, that they might find the Savior that you found. Pray for an opening. Pray that others come. There are people that are not in my close circle, and I pray that God sends other people to speak the good news, to be the good news. And I want to remind you, it's not about your feet. It's not about how eloquent you are, or how knowledgeable you are, or how polished your presentation is. If somebody asks you a question or challenges you about something theologically or biblically and you don't know the answer, you know what? Just say, I'm not sure of the answer to that. I'll look into that a little bit. But here's my story. Here's my story. Here's what God has done in my life. You might stumble and bumble your way through, but share the good news. Amen? Share the good news of how Jesus has set you free from sin and guilt. Share with them the process. I deal with fear, but here's how God meets me in that fear. I deal with regrets for things I've done, but here's how God has washed clean and softened the edges of those regrets and given me grace to say, I want to turn regrets into something positive in the future. Share how God is working in your life. Don't try to look perfect. Don't try to, like, I've got it all together. In fact, share the pain, share the brokenness, but share the redemptive work of God in your life. People need to hear that. And don't be surprised if they don't receive it the first time you tell them. You may not even be the one who leads them to faith in the Savior, but you will be one who spoke good news into their life. I want to close with this thought. It says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith is activated by hearing. Faith is activated by hearing. I wonder if we're in a season right now. There was a season in the Old Testament where they said there was a drought, a famine of the Word of God. I wonder if we're in that season now, a famine of the Word of God, where people are not hearing the Word of God. Maybe believers are not sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Faith comes from hearing. So we shouldn't look at somebody and say, well, I'm not going to share with them because they don't believe. That's exactly when we should share with them. Now, I know that we've got to be sensitive and we've got to pray and we've got to find the right time and the right words, and I am very aware of that. But let us commit to pray. God gives us those opportunities and that we take them with boldness to share. Because faith is activated by the word of Christ. That's supernatural. God does, he takes the word of Christ and he does a supernatural work in the heart of people. He opens people's ears to hear what God is saying, what God is doing. So proclaiming the word of Christ is more than saying words. It's more than preaching at people. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. It means entering their lives with the love of Christ. It means letting them see and feel the heart of Christ through our actions as well as through our words. It means that we try to be good news as much as we are proclaiming good news to them, that they would see Christ in us. Jesus said, the field is ripe and ready to be harvested. The problem, he said, the laborers are few. The laborers are few. There are plenty of ears that long to hear good news, not as many who are bringing that good news. And that's a challenge to all of us. That's a challenge to the church today. There are people who long to hear that the burden they carry can be lifted. There are people who long to hear that the emptiness inside can be filled. Long to hear that they are loved more than they can know. Long to hear that the mistakes and the failures and the sins they've committed can be totally cleansed and not totally forgiven. Long to hear they can have a relationship with God. So let's be the feet. Let's be the feet of those who take good news down from the mountain and into the valley where people live. Let's be the laborers. So again, think of a few people. I mean, God can use you in improvised and unplanned situations, and we should always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. But think of a few people that you want to bring to the altar of God again and again and again, knocking. God, hear me. For so-and-so, I'm lifting them to your altar. And then be good news in their life and share good news with them. Encourage them to believe in their heart and call on the Lord and they will be saved. That's the good word. That's the good news. So as we close, let's just go to God in prayer. We're not going to have a closing song this morning. But let's go to God in prayer. And I want to encourage you to lift that person that may be on your heart. Maybe there's a few people on your heart, to lift them as we pray. And I want to encourage you to pray for a miracle in their life. Pray for a turning in their lives away from this world and all that it offers and towards God. Away from sin, away from the chains that shackle them, and towards the one who frees them. Towards the living God. And as we pray, I also want us to pray together for the soon release of the hostages. Amen. That God would release the ones that are still alive and bring good news to them and their families. So let's pray together. God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We know you are God. We know you are good. We know that when Jesus came, he came with the good news of the kingdom. The kingdom is good news. The kingdom is very good news. It's all that we long for. It's all that we desire. We just don't know it. And we thank you for the good news that Jesus went to the cross and paid for our sins, and he rose from the dead that we might have life, that we might be rescued from the caves and the tunnels of sin and hopelessness and godlessness. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord God, you've given us good news, not only to fill our hearts, but God, help us to take that good news and not sit on it, but share it with others, Lord. Share it with others, with people we know, with people we love, the people that are in our lives. Give us the boldness and the love. Give us the words, give us the heart, give us the feet to share the good news with them, Lord. Father, we pray for the hostages. Lord, we pray for those that are truly in a place of darkness right now. We cannot even begin to imagine. We cannot begin to imagine the terror and the fear that they have experienced, and the torture and the bondage and all the horrible things, Father. And we just pray for them in Jesus' name. God, would you please, Lord, one way or another, release them? Would you release them from that bondage, Lord? Would you just, for whatever reason, cause Hamas to let them go, negotiation or whatever, that they would be released? We think of the loved ones that live in agony that we can't even imagine. We pray you give their hearts peace and grace for the agony, but we also pray they get good news, Lord. We pray for good news. And we pray the world doesn't forget them, that there's active activity to try to get their release very, very soon, Lord. We just lift them up to you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for anyone, Lord, who doesn't know you, that their hearts would be moved to trust in the Savior. They would just come and just say, I want to know Jesus. I want to know him. I want the good news of the kingdom to be a part of my life, to be my life. I want to turn away from living for the world and living for sin and things that mean nothing in the end, and live for God, the living God. Pray you work in their hearts, Lord, and do that good work in their hearts. And we thank you as we leave here today. We're thankful for good news that has really changed everything about our lives. And we thank you for the hope we have and for the Savior we have, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen.